We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the gift of this book of Romans that we have been going through for 11 months. And Father, as we finish the book today, we just ask that we would be reminded of how good you are to us, Lord. That we can find the answers to life's questions and challenges in your word. And Father, I just pray that we wouldn't look to other things around us for answers, but we would look to you, to your word, to your truth. And from your truth, we would find ways to really be experiencing freedom in you, Lord. Father, we pray for transformation of life for your people here. Lord, so many of us have areas of our lives that we're holding on to. We know you, we love you, but we've got areas that we're trying to run in our own strength. And so, Father, we ask forgiveness for that. And Father, we ask that you would bring light and truth into our lives today through your word, and we would be more like you as a result of your word today. So, Father, just thank you for this opportunity to be together, to enjoy you, and to enjoy each other. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, today's message is titled The Mystery Revealed. The Mystery Revealed. And you know, I don't know about you guys, I love a good mystery. Have you ever watched a Sherlock Holmes or read a book, a mystery book? One of the things I love is reading mystery novels. And it's one of the things I do for kind of my downtime is reading a good mystery. And the best mystery novels that I read are the ones that I can't figure out and that I'm blown away at the end, because the answer, it was there the whole time if you had seen everything from an outside perspective. But when you're in the midst of the story, seeing the next part just right before you, it's very hard to see the whole picture. And there's the mystery of the gospel. And, you know, when we think about how people in the Old Testament were thinking about this mystery and thinking about how God was going to be faithful to his promise, to his covenant, and all the people throughout history trying to see how God was working, it's like that great mystery novel of trying to figure out what it's all built around and where the mystery is revealed. And today, as we look at what Paul closes with, this is the doxology. This is the closing of the book. And he just makes a final statement about this mystery. So let's dive into it here. Romans 16, verses 25 through 27. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Guys, there is so much in these three verses. Honestly, as I was going through this, I was like, I could do a 3-week closing on this. And for your sake, I'm not. But there is so much here. And it starts out with, to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel. The gospel is what strengthens believers. Guys, are you struggling in your faith right now? Are you in a place where you're asking questions, where you're discouraged, where you're depressed? You can look to so many different areas around you, and everybody has an answer. If you watch TV and you listen to the commercials, if you buy the right drink, you can find happiness. If you get the right happy meal, all your questions in life are answered. We have a fast food society that just gives these generalities that, boy, what you're looking for is found in our product. And then you eat or drink or run around in the product. And all those big life questions are still not answered. What is it that really brings strength to our lives? Jesus Christ. You know, it says here that Paul wants us, what's meant by the word strengthening there is Paul wants us to be on solid, stable ground. So when the challenges of life come, and I promise you they will come. Some of you may be in a time where for a while now, it's been smooth sailing. And it's interesting, when I talk to my friends who don't know Jesus yet, and they've been in one of those seasons of smooth sailing, there's often not an openness to talking about the gospel, to talking about Jesus. But it's amazing how many times when those same friends of mine are hitting a harder time in life where they're wanting to talk to me about what's important in life, about what is my rock. And they're very open to prayer. You know, this last week I've had a couple of friends that don't know Jesus yet that as we've prayed together, it's just been really neat to see an opening to prayer. One of them, strongly has positioned himself throughout his whole life as not believing in God, just a strong atheist. And yet, more and more, as we meet together, we're praying together. But what is it that somebody like that finds attractive? Is it something in me? Yeah, it's Jesus in me. Amen. It's nothing about me, but it's Jesus. It's the truth of the gospel that Christ is in me and that I have an answer to my challenges, to my fears, to my brokenness. And when we're willing to share that love and give it away, man, it strengthens us. And here Paul is saying, I want you to be stable when the challenges come. Have you guys ever eaten at a table? Have you ever gone to a restaurant? And you're eating at the table, and one of the legs is shorter than the other. And so every time you put your hand or your arm, see, my mom tried forever to get me to not put my hands and elbows and arms on the table, and I think she failed. So sorry, Mom. But whenever you put your hand or arm or anything on the table or lift anything on and off, and the table kind of goes like this, it's unstable. And every situation that happens, you're reminded how of unstable your situation is. And so you're eating very carefully as not to rock the boat. That's not how God wants us to live the Christian life, guys. He wants us to enjoy the meal, to enjoy Him, to appreciate and to love Him back and to just experience His goodness and from loving Him back, be involved in living our lives for Him as an expression of love given back to Him. Not because of duty, not because it's what we're supposed to do, but because it's a natural response and having that strong, solid, stable foundation of the gospel of who Jesus is in our lives. If we are not strengthened by the gospel of Jesus, we're going to be wobbly and unstable in the things that we do, even as believers, guys. I want to encourage you. We need to hold on to the truth of who we are in Christ. Remember, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified in Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Guys, man, what a joy it is. Christ is in us, and we don't have to be blown around by the storms that are around us. Paul wants us to be mature and not frustrated by the circumstances that keep hitting us. Let's continue on. The gospel also has roots in eternity and history. Let's think about this. Let's read here a little bit. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations. This is not a new story. The New Testament is not God's plan B. Guys, know this. It wasn't like God created Adam and Eve and then they blew it and God was like, oh my goodness, what do we do now? From before creation, God had his plan. Nothing of this is a surprise. God is outside of time looking at it. And nothing is a surprise to him. What is this mystery that's being revealed? That God took an idol worshiper named Abraham and he strengthened him to be a father of faith. It's amazing. God took a runaway murderer named Moses and strengthened him to be the deliverer of nations. God took an adulterer named David and a murderer, and he made him a man after God's own heart. And here, who we're hearing from Paul, who wrote this book, God took Paul, a brutal, murdering, torturing Pharisee who took pleasure in killing and torturing Christians and was very good at it. He took this man and he made him an apostle and an unbelievable missionary who loved Jesus and gave his life for him. It's an unbelievable mystery, guys. What is it that causes people to be changed from the inside out? What is it that causes somebody whose whole life is built upon being made big, being made important, that it's about my power, my authority, my success? What is it about somebody who lives for himself or for herself, who then humbles themselves before God and goes from being somebody who takes to somebody who gives, to somebody who reaches out in love and sacrifices themselves for others? And we see it throughout all of the history of God's word, and we see it throughout all of eternity, that the gospel was God's original plan. Jesus Christ has been God's plan from the beginning, from before the beginning. We find the answer is made a little bit more clear in Colossians. Colossians 1:24 through 27 says this: Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. This is Paul writing again. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of the mystery. What mystery? The mystery which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery is not only Christ, but Christ in you. Christ in me. The mystery is that God himself can be in us as our Lord and Savior, that we are no longer our own. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, something happens. Our identity is transformed, changed. We're born again. We're made new. The old is gone and the new has come. Guys, this is different than knowing about God. I hope you hear this. Salvation, having Christ in you, is different than knowing about God. And I want to be careful here, because your salvation is between you and God in that sense of where you come to him. I can't pray a prayer and, okay, Lord, I just pray that everybody in this room is saved. Amen. And you're saved. Whew. I'm not God. I don't have that ability. And if I was God, you guys would all be in very big trouble. I make a lot of mistakes. God doesn't. God doesn't. And salvation belongs to the Lord. And if you have been looking from the outside at Jesus Christ, who is this Jesus? He's the answer to the world. He's the answer to sin. He's the answer to death. He's God himself. He's the Messiah. He's the Holy One. And by his death, after living a perfect life without sin, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, Christ himself, through faith, our faith in him, Christ can be in us. So what does that mean if Christ is in me? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What does that mean? Greater is he, Christ, that is in me than he, the enemy, who is in the world. That means I can live a victorious life in Christ. Does that mean I won't have any problems in my life? No. Does that mean life will be easier because I'm a Christian? No, I promise you it'll be harder. Because, what do you mean? Wait, it'll be harder if I come to Jesus? Yes. Guys, know this. Salvation doesn't mean life is a bowl of cherries and everybody's walking on clouds. And all of a sudden, there's no more sin in the world. It means that the world doesn't change, but you change from the inside out. And you have a way to be stable, to be strengthened in Christ, who is your new identity. The new identity part, guys, is so freeing. It is so freeing to be made new in Christ, to have Christ in you. Now when the challenge comes, guess what happens? In God's strength, you deal with the problems that come to you and are around you. You've got the opportunity to trust him in each situation and to deal with things in his strength and not your own. And it's something that we need to take up our cross daily to follow him. We need to daily, moment by moment, situation by situation, trust that Christ in us will be wiser than us, stronger than us, more able than us to deal with what's going on in our lives. The mystery of Christ in you. This is the gospel. Guys, the gospel is not a theological statement. Sometimes we try to take the gospel, which is, we try and bring the gospel to people without Jesus Christ. We try and bring the theological truth. God loves you, and he died for your sins. God wants to know you personally in Christ. The gospel is in Christ Jesus. It's a personal gospel. And it's not this theological understanding. It's a personal relationship, a personal knowledge, a personal transformation in Christ Jesus. And through that, the truth of God's word is made known to our spirit through his Holy Spirit, God himself. And then we experience abundant life. Then we experience freedom. Because this world, you know, one of the things I've been reading a lot about is in the last few months is about the sex trade in the United States and how it is it's just huge right now. And it's not just people from other countries where slavery is still going on and they're being sold. And that's happening by huge numbers. We've got women and boys and girls coming into our ports in Seattle hidden in awful things, coming to be sexual slaves in America, in Seattle. It's happening today. But we've also got the whole slave trade, sexual slave trade that's taking place from those who are already here. And it's just, the numbers are shocking. How many of our girls from our community are being forced and tricked into sexual slavery. And the internet with pornography and everything, it's just building this situation that is, sin is running rampant in our community. And there is so much happening. As I know, we think of ourselves as living in a free country, but there are so many here who don't have any freedom. But I would say this, the greatest bondage, the greatest slavery that has ever existed throughout history is spiritual slavery. Being a slave to this world and the enemy of Christ. Because throughout history, many people have been slaves of this world, yet free in Christ. Some of the greatest people didn't experience freedom in this world, but they loved Jesus and they experienced freedom of heart and mind and soul in the midst of slavery. I'll never forget when we were in Uganda and we went up north to work with some children that had just gotten out of Kony's army, and there were boys and girls, and the girls had been used as sexual slaves for the army, and the boys had been forced to kill friends and family members to then become part of the LRA, the Lord's Resistance Army. And Kony, this evil, evil dictator, was just going in and stealing children and doing awful things. And out of these 11 kids, the first 11 that we got to deal with, there was one, and she had been sexually mistreated for 2 years, daily, multiple times. Just beyond words of grotesque sin. She was whole in Christ. The other 10 kids, they kept talking about themselves in second person. They kept being distant from everything that had happened to them. You know what she said? She said, I'm so thankful that God protected me these last 2 years. I was thinking, excuse me? What do you mean? She was whole in her relationship with Jesus, and that made her whole no matter what the world and the junk of sins of other people had come upon her. It didn't change who she was on the inside in Christ. Guys, think about what that means. No matter how awful, evil the situation that we are in, we can be whole in Christ. Mentally whole, physically whole, spiritually whole, relationally whole. Because who Jesus is in us, guys, that's the gospel. That's the gospel, that we can be free in Christ no matter what our situation. We can be whole in who Christ is in us. And if that's true for that young lady, an unbelievable saint of God, it's also true for us. And that's the good news. Your job situation, your family situation, your life situation. Is it fair? Is it not? Are the people around you treating you in ways that are not right? Is that frustration holding you to where you feel like there's nothing you can do and you feel that sense of bondage and being broken down? In Christ, there's freedom. In Christ, you don't have to be bound by the sins of others, by the pain of this world, by the consequences of your own sin, by the habits that become addictions. We don't have to be bound in slaves to sin. We can be free in Christ Jesus. The gospel brings obedience of faith. Let's take it near the end here. Now, to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to what? To bring about the obedience of faith. Not only do we not have to be bound to the junk around us, we don't have to be slaves to our own sin. Guys, all of us have areas that we're struggling in. For most of us, it's secret sin. Things that we don't share with others. Things that we're embarrassed. Things that we've got locked in the closet and we're terrified one day will be revealed. When we keep things in the darkness, when we keep things locked up, when we keep our brokenness hidden, we're on the enemy's territory. Darkness is the enemy's territory. When we bring into the light our sin, our failure, now we're in Christ's territory. Now we've brought it out into the light where the truth can change, can be redeemed, I should say. God redeems your sin, my sin. The very things that the enemy wants to use to defeat you. Why is it that maybe there's some areas that you've felt strongly, I should get involved in this area. God is leading me to get involved. And then there comes that doubt and that guilt and that shame because of the sin that's in your life. And rather than stepping out in faith and saying, God has called me to do this ministry. God has called me to reach out in love to these people. You say, because you know it's locked back there. And what if in the process of loving God's people, my sin gets exposed? And so Satan just holds us in bondage because we're fearful of this sin getting out. Guys, this needs to be the kind of family where I can say, I need help. I've got an area of my life that I'm really struggling with, and I need help. Guys, I can't tell you how much I love the men's Bible study because the guys are real. Sometimes it gets a little passionate. Because we're real with each other. We're sharing what's really going on. And because we're being real and sharing what's really going on, there's some friction sometimes. And God allows that to come out. And it's beautiful because then we get to deal with it. We get to deal with the sin. And it's not, oh, hey, how you doing? Oh, praise God, everything's great. Actually, my life's falling apart, but I don't want to share that with you. Because I don't want to be judged or be hurt or be vulnerable or be open to shame if my closet gets revealed. And so the enemy can. But guys, faith is a beautiful thing. Faith is an unbelievably beautiful thing. And the obedience of the faith. When we experience obedience in ways that we haven't been obedient to God before, it's not because we're trying harder. It's because we're enjoying God more. We're in His presence more. We're in the truth of His word more. And guys, we have a God that cannot be defined. We have a God that is greater than what we say He is. And this is important. Because so often we get lost in these secondary theologies
And sometimes as Christians, we try and define God so strictly that we put God in this nice little box that we can package and say, this is God. And I can define, well, if you can define God, you're greater than God. I can't begin to define, I can begin to define God, but I can't get very far because he is greater than what I know. And the more I learn about God, it's like coming closer into a room. The more you see about the greatness of God, the more you know you don't know. Exactly. The more you know you don't know, and therefore the proper response is what? Humility. Oh my goodness, God, you are incredible. I had no idea you had truth in that area of my life. I had no idea that I could be free from that thing which has controlled me my whole life, from that anger, from for me, from my father personally, where the mistreatment of my earthly father left me feeling like that must be the same kind of person God is as my heavenly father. And when I came to an understanding that God is loving, he's not demanding obedience. He's not leading through authority. That's sinful. Man, there's freedom there, guys. And my loving God back is obedience. Now I don't try harder to do what's right. I love him back. And I'm walking in righteousness by loving him back. I'm responding to his love rather than his rules. I'm responding to somebody who knows me and loves me and receives me as I am because of what he's done for me. Because I couldn't do it for myself. The obedience of faith. I love that. And then God's wisdom in salvation, God's wisdom in the covenant with Israel, and God's wisdom in humility. Verse 27, it says, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. See, God is wise in how he saves those who are lost. He is wise. God is infinite. He is complete in his wisdom. He's always known the greatest goal. No matter what the situation is, God knows what the greatest goal is in that situation. And he knows the most perfect way to achieve it. He's wise. He knows more than we do. Did you know that? Where you don't have the answer, where I don't have the answer, he does. And he's so wise, he's even wise in his salvation, how he's bringing it about. God is infinitely wise in the way he saves sinners, you and me. Jesus Christ, the death, burial, resurrection, man, he knew what he was doing from the beginning. God's wisdom is so great, and he's wise in keeping his covenant with Israel. Guys, Romans 9, 6 through 8, I don't have it up on the overhead, but listen to this. We hit this about halfway through in Romans, and it says, but it is not as though the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. Guys, hear this. What is this saying? For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. What is it saying? Guys, the Jewish people, the Gentiles, were united in Christ. All people are united in Christ. We are one people in Christ Jesus. Now, the world loves to say, this is why you should be divided, and this is why.
Economically, you should be divided. By culture, by race, you should be divided. And the world tries to say, hate that person because he's different from you. And that is direct from the enemy of God. They are different. They are different as bad. And you need to put different down. Our 6 years in Uganda, we realized that hatred of a people is not just based off economics or color. We saw tribalism where people wanted everybody from that other tribe dead and gone. Because they were what? They were different. They were a different tribe. They were from that tribe down the road. See, we will make up new ways to hate. If we follow the enemy of this world. If we follow the hatred, we will find ways to divide and conquer each other. But in Christ, guys, there is no Jew and Gentile. We are one in Christ. And it's not because of the blood of Abraham through your veins. It's through the blood of Christ shed on the cross that we are one in Christ. That's the blood that matters. The blood that was shed on the cross. That's the blood that matters. That's what unites us. And that is the good news. So now we are truly, look around, we're family. We're all so different. We've got different world views. We've got different everything. And we're one in Christ through faith in Christ Jesus by what he's done. Guys, it's so exciting. Romans 11 then goes on to say, lest you be wise in your own conceits, I want you to understand this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. Wow. See, God doesn't make mistakes. Guys, you can trust God more than you can trust you. Did you know that? You can trust God more than you can trust yourself. But I promise you, it's hard every time because you've got to take up your cross daily. It means you got to die to yourself. Die to what you want and trust Jesus in the heart of the challenge. The kids are not listening. They're talking back. Do you trust you or Jesus? You're not connecting with your spouse in a way that's healthy. In that situation, do you trust yourself or do you trust Jesus? Uh-oh, pastor's getting personal here. It's hard, isn't it? And we fail all the time, don't we? We get selfish and we get heading towards what we want rather than what God wants and what's best for our spouse, what's best for our child, what's best for our friend, what's best for our enemy. Ooh, ouch. That's even harder, because I should have the right to hate my enemy. Hence the name enemy, right? No, we're called to love our enemies. Christ died for you and me while we were still sinners, enemies of God. Wow. The Jews are hardened so that the Gentiles get saved, so that when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, the fullness of Israel will come in as well. And the point of that strategy is, lest you be wise in your own conceits. Guys, did you hear what it said? Lest you be wise in your own conceits. It's not about what you do. It's not about what family you're from, what background you have, what social status you have. It's not about anything that we can become conceited in. God's wisdom reveals what? His glory in salvation, so that we cannot become full of pride.
We can't get full of ourselves and think it has anything to do with me and how good I am. And look at what I did. What's the best thing I can do? I can get out of the way and let Jesus reign in my life. That's what I can do. Allow Christ to love through me. And each time it's a challenge. And it ends with faith glorifies God. The end of verse 26, to bring about the obedience of faith, the only wise God be glory forevermore through Christ Jesus. Amen. Guys, if we have faith in Christ Jesus, that's what brings glory to God. Do you want to honor God? Grow in your faith. Become more strengthened and stable through the truth of the Word of God. Become deeper in your walk. That's how we glorify God, is by loving Him back. And in doing that, man, we experience the kind of transformation now that starts blessing others rather than leaving a wake of people behind us. How many Christians have in their attempt to be holy, left a wake behind them of brokenness? I'll never forget, I talked to a pastor once. He said, my greatest goal in this church is to be the most holy person in the community. So it's all about you. My heart broke. I'm going to be more holy than you. What does that make you? My enemy. The one I compare myself to. So I got to push you down to be more holy. Guys, it's dangerous. It's beyond dangerous. It's deadly. We need to see the unbelievable glory of God and be humbled and broken before God and say, I am unworthy, I am unholy, I have no business being in your presence. But by your grace, through faith, I'm saved. I'm given new life, a new purpose. And whatever you can do through me, I don't know what it is because there's a lot of junk here. But you are greater than me. And I want you to be in me more, to do incredible things through me that I can't do. Because you've prepared in advance works for me to do, not in my own strength, but through your strength. Guys, where is it? What are the areas in life that are holding you back from serving God in new ways? From experiencing freedom? What is holding you back? Give it to the Lord. Trust Him with it and stop trusting yourself. As I don't know what it is in your life. You don't know what it is in mine. I've got a lot of things that I'm working on. Being a pastor doesn't say, oh, he's in a different class. No, I got a ton of things that at different times in my life I hold on to. And sometimes I hold on to it with both hands. And I say, no, God, I don't want you to have this. I'm not willing to give it to you right now. After I get it figured out, then I'll... back to me being God. And then coming to that place of brokenness before God and saying, ah, I'm tired. I'm broken and I trust you. You know what? I trusted you before and then I grabbed it right back. But I trust you. Today I give this to you. And then it becomes a part of who I am. And now it's not me trying to give it to him, but now it becomes a natural flow of love and freedom and joy and passion of life and purpose. And it's all flowing of Christ working it through me. I've got to bring it out of the darkness into the light. Got to be willing to deal with it. Let's close in prayer. God, you know our hearts. You know where we are broken, where we are suffering, where we are hurting, where we're living in sin, where we're choosing things that are despicable, that are gross,
Or maybe they're just not what's best. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for trusting ourselves more than we trust you. Forgive us for trying to play God when we serve a risen Savior who is all-powerful and all-knowing, for thinking we are greater than you in this area of our life. Maybe not in our minds, but in our actions. Forgive us for where we've allowed sin to reign in our lives. Forgive us for the lies we've told you, told others, and told ourselves. Forgive us for trying to be fake with others and with you, for acting as though everything's great and okay and wonderful, and when our lives are falling apart, God, forgive us for being fake. We don't want that anymore. We choose to be real with you, even though it's going to be painful. It will be also freeing. It's going to be unbelievably difficult to be honest with you, Lord, because of our fear. We've experienced being rejected when we've been honest in the past with people. Father, may this family be a place where we can be honest and open and where people are not judged for their sin. Lord, we pray that this would be a home for people because we're all in the same place, Lord, where we can be honest about what we're really struggling with and be received by each other according to the truth of your word. Protect us from judgmental hearts, from critical spirits. Protect us from thinking I have to change my brother's bad ways. I'm called to love my brother, to share the truth in love, and to keep receiving him, and to encourage him. Sometimes putting my arm around him, sometimes putting my boot in his rear end, but encouraging him in the truth and in Christ. Father, forgive us for our sin, Lord. Thank you that we can be whole today in you, that there is no sin in our lives that you are not greater than, that there is no one here who has over-sinned your grace. Not one. There's not one here who is without sin, and there's not one here who's out-sinned your grace. We're grateful for that, Lord. Show us how to love each other in your love, and show us how to enjoy you and love you back in ways that bring glory to your name. Lord, thank you that your mystery has been revealed through Christ in us and what that means to our lives today, here and now. May we glorify you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.